How safe are the apps used to enhance login security for accessing MyGov, the Australian government's online portal run by Services Australia? That's the question sitting behind what's become a bit of a David and Goliath story, or more accurately, a Fraser and Services Australia story. Fraser Tweedale is a software engineer who works for a global tech company in the areas of authentication and cryptography. He put in a Freedom of Information request to Services Australia to try and get access to the source code for the MyGov code generator. Now, years later, that FOI application's headed to the Administrative Review Tribunal, where Services Australia will argue that if Fraser gets what he's after, national security will be compromised. Fraser Tweedale joins us now. Welcome to Sunday Extra, Fraser.
Good morning, Julian.
Now, why did you decide back in 2021 to put in an FOI request asking Services Australia for some of the source code associated with logging into MyGov?
Two main reasons. The first reason is I don't use a Google account on my phone. I have an Android phone, like most people are using an Apple phone or some variation of the Android system. And I'm using Android, but I don't care to have a Google account active on my phone. And the application is distributed exclusively through the official Play stores.
Oh, that's interesting. So that means that even though you you want to access your MyGov as a citizen, you have to use a Google. You have to basically get a Google account to use it. Sounds like it's a David and two Goliaths there.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the App Store distribution model being the preferred or primary way of getting this application into people's hands. It's a secure method of doing that. It's something that's everyone has on their device. If they are comfortable to use their Apple account or their Google account on their device, but I don't think it should be the only way that people can get this app. Having access to government services mediated by foreign multinational tech companies, I think is not a good thing if that's the only way. So that was the situation for me. And the other reason was, as a cybersecurity expert, as someone working specifically in this field of authentication and identity management for over one decade now, I thought, well, it would be interesting to be able to audit and review how is this application implemented? Is it implemented properly? Is it secure?
Yeah.
So for those two reasons, I put in a Freedom of Information request, and that was back in mid-2021.
Yeah, it's been quite a saga since then. Fraser, can I ask you, has the Australian government released source code for apps before?
Yes, they have. So the most notable example is the COVID Safe app. That was what was developed in response to the pandemic, I think in 2020. They commissioned that application. And although they released it through these App Store channels and were encouraging everyone to install this app and use it, they recognized that there was a clear public interest in making the source code public to establish and to maintain that trust between government and the people that, hey, this app, it works. Well, okay, how well did it work in the end? Maybe not
separate
that
argument,
well, but,
yeah.
You know, the app is fit for purpose, was their case. It's secure, you can trust it. And because this was all happening so suddenly, I think the government in that situation recognised that there was a clear benefit to giving the people that transparency. And so the Digital Transformation Agency was the agency involved there. They released the source code to that, not immediately, but after a few months. And that was something they did. There were certainly calls for it, but I think it was more or less on their own initiative that they recognised the importance of that.
Yeah, and presumably there were not security concerns about the government doing that of its own initiative. But let's face this question head on, Fraser. If the source code of the MyGov code generator app is published to you, won't that mean it's also available to malicious actors who might not be as purely curious about the way the code works as you are?
That is true, yes. It means that everyone can look at it. But the idea that the only way that cyber criminals can find vulnerabilities in applications and internet systems is if they have the source code is completely erroneous.
Mm. Can you help us understand that a little?
Yeah, so first of all, we need to address the question because a lot of people have this kind of initial and very understandable reaction that, oh, how could it be secure? You shouldn't have the source code because that would compromise the security. This is a notion within technology and cybersecurity circles called security by obscurity. And it's a discredited concept. It sounds logical, just in the way that we need to keep, the combination to our safe or what our key looks like for our front door secret. Yes, that's true. But the source code of an application is not that secret data. The source code is more like the pattern of how to build a lock and how that lock is keyed. That's secret information. That's like your password or sensitive personal information that an application deals with. No, absolutely not. And the source code shouldn't contain any such data. If it did, well, sometimes that happens. Fine. Redact that information. It shouldn't be in the code base. Pull it out. Release the code. So there should be no issue. And, people may have heard of what's called open source software. All of the foundational protocols that the internet security relies upon are all public. Everyone knows how they work. They're exposed to public scrutiny. And anything that is kept secret is pretty much distrusted. When it comes to source code, also for all of these protocols, authentication systems and security systems, they're not always open source, but there are always open source implementations and many people would be using those.
We're speaking with Fraser Tweedale on Sunday Extra. And Fraser, from what you've said, I might have expected that you would have got the source code when you put your FOI application in, but I think it's fair to say that's not the way it's gone because that application was put in 2021. It was rejected. Then you tried to challenge that with the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner. That seems to have been a bit of a black hole that lasted for a few years. And then they've now referred it to the Administrative Review Tribunal. Tell us about the hearing that's coming up and will it be a public hearing?
Well, we don't know. So far at every stage of this process, so there's an initial request, there's an internal review that took place with Services Australia after their initial request, initial access refusal. Then, as you mentioned, it went to the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner. And at every stage of that process, the agency, Services Australia, was relying on Section 47E. And to get technical into the legislation here for a moment, that's information that, if released, would or would reasonably be expected to have a substantial adverse impact on the operations of the agency.
So they're claiming like operational efficiency as the reason for knocking back the application.
Operational efficiency, and there are two main limbs to their argument. One is, if the source code was out there, baddies would use it to attack us. And the second one was that if the source code was out there, people would make counterfeit versions and try and distribute those and in that way potentially steal credentials and so on. Now, those are true statements. What we will argue is not true is that those would have an adverse impact on the agency, because the differential risk between what people can already do today without the source code and what they could do with the source code is essentially nil.
Well, it's now gone to the Administrative Review Tribunal, and I understand it's in the National Security section of the tribunal. So it sounds like that might make the process a little bit harder for you. We've only got probably about 30 seconds left, Fraser, but could you tell us what the pathway from here is?
Sure. So they were previously arguing Section 47E. They've now pivoted to Section 33, which is, they say, it's national security information. We can't really understand why. We think it's a bit of a cynical move that raises procedural fairness issues for us. How it actually plays out, we're yet to see. But the possibility of closed hearings or suppression of evidence is now very much on the table. So we're hoping that the tribunal will tread carefully with this, but we're concerned about the implications for the conduct of this case as a result of this manoeuvre.
It's an intriguing scenario. Fraser Tweedale, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra today to discuss it.
Thank you for having me.
Yep, that's Fraser, software engineer working for a global tech company in the areas of authentication and cryptography, but with a bit of a side hustle in FOI applications, which are now going to the Administrative Review Tribunal later this year. Fraser's also raised, I think, about $20,000 through Posable to fund this legal claim, and it certainly does seem like an interesting case, so we'll keep track of it here on Sunday Extra, where it is 24 minutes to 8.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.